Okay, today's daf is daf kuf. We're going to start at the top with the Mishnah.
<That's clean>.
Hamachlif para v'chamor v'yalda. V'chein hamacher shepchato v'yalda. We're going to get into basic dine, right? Sumchus again, mamon v'tam sefeg yachloku, or hamotzi mechaber olav haraya, right? If we want to review these concepts, one idea is to say, right, chachamim in general say when there's a din of safek, what do we say? The person who wants to take it out of the property of the other person, the burden of the proof is on him. And therefore, if we don't know, then we leave it wherever it is. And Sumchu says, whenever we have, and today we're going to see, is it whenever, or maybe he doesn't say it in every case. But general, Sumchu's opinion is, we split it 50-50 if we don't know what to do with it. So now we're going to see, what about this case? So we're going to start with the Mishnah, then we're going to see, we're going to kind of ask questions relating to the concepts that we know. So if we barter, and I take a para for your chamor, okay, we're machlif para b'chamor, and the para had a baby. V'chein ha-mochir shifchato v'yalda, or you sell me your shifcha, and the shifcha is a child, ze omer ad shelo macharti, v'ze omer mishalakachti. Right, we don't know. We saw this case, by the way, the main case where Sumchus and Chachamim argue is when someone attacks the para, and then the para had the offspring, and the whole question was it before he hit the animal or after that it was born? So here it's a similar kind of safek. We don't know when the baby was born or when the para had a baby calf. And we say, right, so each one says, each one claims, right, Ad shelo macharti, it was born beforehand. So basically, when I sold you just the para or just the shifcha. The vla belongs to me. And the lokach says, right, well, it's a sale. It's a transfer, but a transfer is a sale. Now, it was a barter sale. It wasn't for money, but it was a sale. V'zeh omer mishalakachti, right? And the other one says, no. It was born after I already purchased it, meaning it's mine. So what do we do? Yachloku. Okay, now what does this sound like? Is this a bari or shema? Right? It sounds like it's a bari claim because this one says it was mishalakachti, right? So the first case, we assume right now that it's bari ubari, right? Each side says for sure, right? I know. And the halacha is yachlok.
Meaning presumably they sell it and split the proceeds, not they?
Right. They obviously don't cut the animal or cut the baby in half, right? Yes. They sell and split the proceeds.
Why even judge it as tova?
Why judge it as what?
Bari, because it's not something that they think maybe, or they might have forgotten or gotten confused. You can know how long the gestation period is for either.
You're saying, why can't we figure out exactly what happened?
Yeah. And no, not only exactly what happened, but also exactly when the transition period is.
Clearly, they don't know when the baby or the calf is born, because if they knew, then there wouldn't be a suffix. The point is, they don't know, right? And then the baiting, right, who they go in front of, doesn't know the facts. And each one, at least it sounds like from the claim, okay, we'll see if the Gemara is going to maybe suggest otherwise, but it sounds like if he's saying, Ad shelo macharti, he means, that bari just means, is he saying a claim, I know what happened, or is he saying a claim, I don't really know, I'm not sure, right? But it could be. Right? Lots of times that we make claims that say, well, you can't say that because maybe that wasn't the case, right?
So
that would be a bari claim, meaning, how, you know, go prove it. I think it was before it was sold. That would be Shema. But this sounds like Bari because he says, Ad shelo macharti. And the other one says, Mishalakachti. So the halacha is Yachloku. Hayu lo shnei avadim, echad gadol ve'echad katan. V'chein shnei sadot, echad gdola ve'echad katana. Okay, so now he has two slaves or two fields. One is larger than the other, right? A small one and a large one. So again, there was a sale, okay? And it's not clear which one he bought. Halokeach omer gadol lakachti. V'hala omer eini yodea. Right? So now we're going to have, right? Case number two is Bari v'shema. Okay? So, one says, I know it was the gadol that I bought. And the other one says, right? The seller says, I don't know which one. Zacha b'gadol. Right? So now, the Bari wins out. Now, let's say the mochir says, let's say it's flipped. He says the bari claim, right? So here the lokach is bari. And in case number three, the mochir is bari. And we'll see the lokach is shema. So Hamochir omer katan macharti, v'hala omer eini yodea, ein lo ela katan. So again, the mochir wins out, right? The bari claim wins out. You see here that it doesn't matter who's got the chazaka, right? Because whoever has the bari claim wins. Ze omer gadol, v'ze omer katan. Okay, bari ubari. What are we going to say now? Right? Yishava hamochir shakatan machar. Okay, so now what happens? The mochir swears that he sold him the small one, and he gets to keep the big one, right? So, bari ubari, the mochir yishava. Okay, so now, obviously it means he has to take a shvuah. Otherwise, he's not going to win. Okay, and then he gets to win. Zeomer eni yodea, v'zeomer eni yodea, yachloku. Okay, so now, if shema v'shema, then we're going to say yachloku. Okay? That's the last case. Okay, so the first question is going to be on case number one. In a bari ubari claim, amay yachloku. V'lech ze, why don't we say like this? Birishut deman kaima. Why don't we see whose rishut is the baby in right now? Wherever the baby is, what will we say? Right? The other guy should then have to prove that the baby was born in his rishut, right? So let's say the baby right now is in the owner's, the original owner's rishut, the seller. So the buyer should have to prove it, and if he can't prove it, which obviously he can't, because if there was proof, we'd be in a better, right? We wouldn't be so misupakim. So therefore, we're going to assume that it should stay in the hands of the seller, and if it's in the hands of the buyer, then if the seller can't prove it, then it stays in the hands of the seller. So why do we say yachloku? So Amar Rav Chiya bar Avin, Amar Shmuel, Be'omed ba'agam, Shibchanami dekaima besimta. So why, we're just assume that the case of the Mishnah was when the baby or the calf is not in anyone's rishut. It's either hanging out by the agam, by the lake, okay, by the marsh, or if it's a shipcha, she's hanging out in the simta. What's the simta? It's like a corner. It was an area within the shuk, right, where it was like a little corner there where they used to sell the avadim. So meaning, right, it was sold not from the owner's house. It was sold from a public space, and she's hanging out near the public space where the you know the baby's hanging out there where the shvachot and avadim are sold. Okay, so then they say, wait, but still there's a chazaka. Now we're going to learn this from where in dinei isur v'heter. What do we always say? That we always look back to what was the chazaka of the item before. In other words, if you have a woman and you don't know, is she married or divorced? What do you say? Well, where do we find her last? What was her status at the last known point? So what do we say? V'nukma chezkat amara kama. If we don't have any chazaka now, it's hanging out in the street or in the marsh, why don't we just say, well, there's the chazaka of what it was before. And until we know that it changed hands, we can assume it was in the chazaka of the original owner. So why don't we say that, just like we say in Dinei Yisur V'heter. Because of that, what are they now going to have to say? So now they say, this must be that we don't hold Hamotzi Mechaveru Alav Haraya, because if we did hold that, like Chachamim, then this case, somehow, there would be some sort of chazaka, right? Either it's in someone's property, and we should say it's a chazaka, or if it's not in someone's property, we can go back to the last known chazaka that we know, and therefore, it must be that this mission doesn't hold like Chachamim, but it holds like Sumchus, who says, without needing a shvuah. Okay, we just split a 50-50. So now they say, wait a minute, but imor damar Sumchus b'shema b'shema. Bibari ubari miyamar. But that's only if you assume, right? Our case we're talking about is a bari ubari case. Now, there's a debate about whether Sumchus holds what he says, that yachloku, only when everyone says eini yodea, or even in a case where it's bari ubari. So now they're going to say, right, so what Sumchus said was only b'shema b'shema. Who's to say that he holds it also in a bari ubari case? So Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, we're going to have two answers here. Rabba Bar Rav Huna says, In fact, Shulchus does hold it across the board, and therefore our Mishnah works perfectly well. Our Mishnah has Bariu Bari Yachloku, our Mishnah has Shema V'Shema Yachloku, and it all goes according to Shulchus. Very simple. Rava Amar Le'olam Ki Amar Shulchus Shema V'Shema. Aval Bari Lo Amar. He says, wait a minute. Shulchus didn't say that we just split 50-50 when both are confident in their claims. If it's only, right, it actually makes a lot of sense, right? We say 50-50 when nobody really knows. We throw our hands up. We have no idea. But if each one is confident in their claim, then we have to move into the realm of shvuas, right? We have to say, well, then one side should swear, okay? Now, what's always the side that swears, do you remember? There's nishbav and otel, but there's nishbav and no mishalem, right? You can either take a shvua to say, I'm not going to pay, or you could take a shvua to say, Nishba v'notel, I get my money. Okay? So generally, the basic shvua is nishba v'eino mashalem. That's generally when we have a chiyuv shvua, we're going to put the shvua on the person who's trying to get out of payment. So he says, right, that's what we saw before in the Mishnah, that the mocher swears, right, in this Bari Bari case later, he swears, and he doesn't have to give him the gadol, right? He gets to give him the katan. Okay, so generally we say nishbav mishalem. There's aveino mishalem. There's a few exceptions. One major exception is if the person who's supposed to take the shvua is chashur al shvua. If he's someone who we don't so much believe, he's got reason that we think he lies. So therefore, we can't put the shvua on him. So we switch it onto the other guy, and he can then be nishbav notel. And it's all based on the principle of motzim chaver alav haraya, right? In order to take money away from someone, it's always going to require more. So we'd rather, if we're going to put a shvua on one side, we'll put it on the one who just exempts himself from paying. So the money just, you know, everything remains status quo.
But which is it in this case?
So first of all, we don't exactly know which one it is in this case. It depends what we're talking about, who's got the money.
I was talking about Tzimah Chavera Levaraya, if the one who is trying to keep his money has to swear.
Because he's swearing to sit. No, it's... You're right. It's not. This is a case where Hamotzim Chaveru Alav Haraya doesn't exactly apply, but you say if one person's going to swear, it's going to be the it's the same it's the same thing that Hamotzim Chaveru Alav Haraya is based upon, which is let's maintain the status quo until we know otherwise. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to take a shvua, we're going to let the person take a shvua to not have things switch hands. That's the concept. So, okay, let's just review. Rava Bar Bachana says, this is Sumchus, and Sumchus says even Bari Bari. Rava says, Sumchus only says Shema Shema. He doesn't say Bari Bari. V'tane zeomer Shema ad shelo macharti, v'zeomer Shema mishalakachti. Okay, no, I didn't say that right. Bari Bari lo amar. So what are we stuck with? We're stuck with case number one. According to Sumchus, this is a Bari Bari case, and it says Yachloku. Right? So how could that possibly be? So now, I'll read the line better now. Utnei, and this is how you should read the Mishnah, okay? I specifically set this up when we started reading it. It's not a Bari Ubari case. Ze omer, okay, what did it say in the Mishnah? Ze omer ad shelo macharti v'ze omer mishalakachti, remember? Right? This one says, oh, I know, it was before I sold it to you. And the other guy said, no, it was after you sold it to me. So what does it mean? Ze omer shema ad shelo macharti v'ze omer shema mishalakachti. Okay, in other words, the case in the beginning is not a Bari Ubari, according to Rava, it's Rava Bar Rav Huna, it's a Shema V'Shema. Okay, the word Shema doesn't appear, but you could read it sort of that way, which is, maybe it was Ad Shelo Macharti, and maybe it was Ad Shelo, right? That each one could possibly claim, right? That's what you said in the beginning.
That was my question.
Exactly, exactly, right. That's why you were getting at it. It's not so clear cut here, okay? It could be, you could read the Mishnah as being a Shema V'Shema, and that's how we resolve the issue. Okay, but now we have another issue.
Why do you need the last case then if you have a Shema?
Ah, Bidiuk. Okay, Aviva's got it, which is if there's Shema V'Shema in the Reisha, and the fifth case is also Shema V'Shema, the last case in the Mishnah, why do you need two Shema V'Shemas to teach you Yachloku? So, Zeomer Eini Yodea, V'Zeomer Eini Yodea Yachloku. So, Bishlam Ala Rava, this makes a lot of sense according to Rava's explanation. Midaseif Shema V'Shema, Reishanami Shema V'Shema. According to Rava, wait, need the Seifa. Since the Seifa is a Shema V'Shema, Reshanami. Wait, now why would he say Reshanami Shema V'Shema? One second, has this read. Since the Seifa Shema V'Shema, Reshanami. Sorry, one second. I because he thinks it's Bari Bari. That's why I'm confused. One second. Okay, you know, we're going to go on 1 second, and then I think it'll be more clear. Okay, so hold off for 1 second. Ela le rabba barapuna damar in amar sumchus afilu bari ubari. Right, so we're going to explain this. So Rabba Barapuna says, sumchus says even bari ubari. So actually, no, it's not Aviva's question, right? That's why I got confused. It's the Gemara asked something different, okay? It works like this. Rava, who holds that he only holds it in Shema V'Shema, so since the Seifa Shema V'Shema, we can say the Reish is also Shema V'Shema, and that's the case that Tzumchus says, okay? This isn't so clear because it's more that they want to ask a question on the other opinion. Okay, you'll hold up and you'll hear. Ela l'rabba barapuna da'amar in amar Tzumchus afilu bari ubari. Now if we say that the first case is bari ubari, well, then the last case is going to be totally unnecessary. Why? If Sumchus says you split in a bari ubari case, obviously you also split in a shema v'shema. Okay, hold off on Rebbe. We're going to get back to him. Okay, so el Rebbe Rav Huna tamar in amar Sumchus afilu bari ubari. Hashta bari ubari amar yachloku. If we already say bari ubari, we split 50-50. Shema v'shema mibaya. Right? So im shumha lo iria. So now they say, wait a minute, that's not a question, because you could say like this, Tana Seifa L'Giluye Reisha. The Seifa is coming to teach you about the Reisha, meaning, Shelo Tomar Reisha Shema V'Shema Aval Bari Ubari Lo, Tana Seifa Shema V'Shema Michlal De Reisha Bari Ubari V'Afilu Hachi Yachlogu. He's saying the reason why they put Shema V'Shema at the end is to teach you that don't think that the Reisha is Shema V'Shema, like Naomi kind of thought when we read it, maybe it was a Shema V'Shema case, because the Seifa Shema V'Shema. So the Seifa being Shema V'Shema teaches you that the Reisha must be Bari Ubari. That's how Rabbi Rahana looks at it. Rabbi would just look at it and say, you have to remember, the Reisha and the Seifa are talking about two different cases. The Reisha was the case about Machlif Parah B'Chamor V'Yalda, and the Seifa was the case about he bought two things, a Gadol and a Katan. So Rava would just say, this is Shema V'Shema in that case, and that's Shema V'Shema in the other case. That's how Rava explains it. That's Shema V'Shema and that's Shema V'Shema. But it's not as obvious to say Shema V'Shema in one case would apply to Shema V'Shema in the other case. It's more obvious to say, once you say Bari Bari, we say Yachloku, all the more so Shema V'Shema Yachloku. And that's the real question of the Gemara. Okay. So now they answered it up because they said we need to say Shema Ushem at the end to show that the first case was Bari Ubar. Tanan. Ze Omer Gadol, Ze Omer Katan. So now we're going to have another question. If in this case we had the Ze Omer Gadol, Ze Omer Katan, okay, that was in case number 4. Now notice this case is what? Bari Ubari. Okay, we didn't get to this yet, but it's a Bari Ubari case, and what will we say? If Sumchus says Bari Ubari Yachloku, so why in this case does it say that the Mocher swears that it was the small one he sold, and he gets to keep his small one and give He says the small one he sold, he gets to give the guy the small one and keep the big one. So, Zeomer Gadova Zeomer Katan, Yishava Mocher Shakatan Machar. So, Bishlama La Rava Damar Kiamar Sumchus Shema V'Shema, right? It makes a lot of sense according to Rava, because Rava said, Sumchus only holds Yachloku in a Shema Shema case, right? And in the first case, it's also Shema V'Shema. But in Bari V'Bari, he would agree that you swear. Aba Bari V'Bari Lo Amar, Mishum Hachi Yishava, and that's why he has to swear. Ela le Rabba Bar Rav Huna da Amar in Amar Sumchus Afilu Bari Bari Amay Yishava Mocher Yachloku Mibayle. Right? It should have said Yachloku just like in all the other cases. So what are they going to answer? And this is something that's going to appear at the end of the daf also. Modes Sumchus, I told you from the beginning, Sumchus doesn't always hold Yachloku. Okay, so number one, we see maybe he doesn't hold Yachloku in a Bari case, maybe only in Shema B'Shema, and that doesn't machloket. But now we're going to say that all the more so, there's another case. Even if you say he holds it in Bari, he still thinks that in a particular case he's not going to hold Yachloku, and that's this case. And what's this case? Hecha de'ika shvua de'oraita. Now that means like we're going to see further on in the Gemara. But in a case where you need to take a shvua mida oraita, then where there's a chiyuv shvua de oraita on you, then we're going to make you take a shvua. Okay? So now, what's the shvua mida oraita? Because you're mode of a miktzah here. Because you say, right, the assumption is, right, right. He agrees about the Eved. He just disagrees about which size Eved it was. Right? You understand? There's like a mode of a mikzat here.
Because so he bought something.
He bought something, and he says, yes. I agree that you bought something, but you bought the smaller one and not the bigger one. So he's going to view that as a mode of a mikzat. And in a mode of a mikzat case, what do we say? Chiyuv shvua mida oraita. So in that case, we're going to say, even in Bari Ubari, right, according to Rabbi Baruch Huna, who doesn't think Sumchus holds in Bari Ubari, right, who holds that generally you would be Yachloku in Bari Ubari, in this case, he doesn't think you're Yachloku because there's a Chiyuv Shvua to Oraita on him. And there's a Chiyuv Shvua to Oraita, even Sumchus holds, you have to take a Shvua. Okay, and you don't do Yachloku below Shvua. Okay? So now we're going to talk about this whole mode of a Miktzad. Is there really mode of Miktzad here? Is there not? We're going to talk about this. Hayu lo shnei avadim, echad gadol ve'echad katan v'chulei. So now we have this case. So question number one is going to be, we're going to have three questions on this. Okay, all trying to say, why should you swear in this case? Okay, the one that we just talked about. Amai shava, masha ta'ano lo hodalo, umash hodalo lo ta'ano. Moda b'mitzah means, remember what our classic case is. You owe me 100 and you say, I only owe you 50. So now, you agree that you owe me 50, you disagree about the other 50, right? There's a hoda'a b'miktza and a kfira b'miktza. In this case, if we're talking about two different slaves, well, you admit that there was a sale, but that's different, right? In other words, what do we hear? I'll even, it doesn't say it here, maybe it says it further on, but there's a concept, if you remember, read it later, but if you claim you sold me chitim, and I claim you sold me se'orim, that's called a hoda'a shelo mimin hata'ana. It's a hoda'a that's not of the same type. And generally, the general opinion is, we don't say moda b'miktzad in that case. So here also, you claim it was a big eved, and I claim it was a small eved, and those are two different things. So therefore, we can't say moda b'miktzad. That's number one. So mashatano lo hodala, you're claiming, I don't admit that I bought, that I sold. And what, Masha Odalo, what you're admitting, Lotano, that's not what I'm claiming. Or right, the verse, right? What I admit that I sold you something, that's not what you're claiming. I admit I sold you a katan. You said it was a different Eved, right? It's talking about two totally different people. Ve'od, second question. We're going to have three questions here. Helachu. What is Helach? Helach is, remember this, Halacha. Helach is when I say, yes, you bought the small one, and here it is. Okay? Now, why do we say, and here it is? What if I didn't say the words, and here it is? So there's an assumption that if we're talking about, and this is going to permeate our conversation in general, if you remember, what do we always say about karka? Karka never leaves the reshut of its owner, right? And avadim are like karka in general, although there's a few different opinions about this. But when it comes to halach, if it's avadim or karka, the assumption is it's already in your possession. So when I say it was the small one, it's as if I stuck it in your face. Okay? It's as if I said, Helach, it's yours. Now in a case where I give it to you right away, then there's no shvua. Because I've already kind of admitted and passed it on.
There's no shvua because nobody's arguing anymore.
No, someone is arguing. You're saying, but I bought the big one.
Oh, I see.
Okay? But if I already kind of gave it to you and said, Helach, then there's no chiyuv shvua. Okay? We talked about it when we learned it, that one of the reasons is because it's as if it's so clear to me that I'm right, that I'm giving it to you right away, that there's no, we don't start adding a shvua.
Even though you're still arguing.
Right, even though you're still arguing.
You don't need witnesses, because it's one word against the other. You don't need witnesses to this delivery?
Do you need, well, there's no actual delivery. That's what's interesting here. It's as if I said Halach. Because by me saying I sold you the little one, it's as if it's already in your possession. If you remember when we learned Halach, it's very confusing. No one exactly knows
what
it is.
When does the Halach take place? At the time of the sale or now?
No, I think when they're disputing. When I say it was the katan I gave you, it's as if I said, and here it is, and take it. Right? Because I'm clearly giving it to you. It's not like you claim you bought something and I say you didn't buy anything. I said you bought it, and it's as if I already gave it to you.
Even though you don't, even though the second party doesn't actually want it at
right.
this point.
Right. Even though he claims that it's something more than that. But he does want something.
Right.
So, and he got something. Okay? So it's Halach. Ve'od, third question. Einish ba'in al avadim. Remember we said? Avadim are like karka, and you don't swear on karka. Modeh b'miktzat only applies in a monetary case, in a metaltalin case. Not in a karka case. There's no such thing as modeh b'miktzat in a karka case. That you're, you could have a case where you're modeh b'miktzat, but you're not chayev shvua. And therefore, avadim are going to be like karka. Oh, we usually say, right? Again, there's debates about it, which we'll see. Okay, so we have three questions about why should there be a shvua in this avadim case. Number one, right? Mashtano lohodalo, it's not modeh b'miktzat, it's lomi min hatana. Number two, it's halach. Number three, einish b'in al avadim. So we're now going to have four potential answers. The fourth one we're going to have a big discussion about and eventually reject. And then we're going to kind of support the third one. Okay, that's how it's going to work. First answer. Amarav, bitano dame, or dame. It's when he claims not the evet itself. He claims the money for the evet, the value of the evet. He says, I bought the value of an evet. I want to get the money for it. Okay, he's claiming a monetary value. Now, that resolves all the questions, because number one, then it is mimin hatana, because he's claiming, I claimed I bought something that's worth 100, and you claimed you sold me something worth 50. So they're arguing over money, and it's hoda b'miktzat. Then it's not halach, because it's money. Money doesn't have halach. It's not that kind of thing. And number three, einish b'in al avadim. Well, it's metaltalin. We're talking about money, not exactly metaltalin, but money. And you do swear about money. So now, right, Deme Eved Gadol, Deme Eved Katan, Deme Sadeh Gdola, Deme Sadeh Ktana. Okay? It's any of those things. Now, by the way, remember, the cases aren't just about Avadim. It's not just Enish Ben Avadim, but the case was about Avadim and about Karka. This is what's going to confuse us later on with the fourth opinion. Okay? So just keep that in mind, that the case is both about Eved and about Karka and about swearing, right? Which makes the question even stronger. Because even if you say maybe Avadim are like Metaltalin, you still have the problem that it's talking about a Sadeh case, and how do you swear about Karka? Ushmuel Amar B'tano Ksut. Okay? He was talking about clothing. What kind of Ksut? Ksut Eved Gadol, Ksut Eved Katan, Omrei Sadeh Gdola, Omrei Sadeh Ktana. They weren't arguing about the land itself or the slaves themselves. They were arguing about clothing for a slave. I bought clothing for a big slave. No, you bought clothing for a small slave.
That puts it again.
Okay. So now hold off. Okay. Or bundles of a sadeh dolar, or bundles of a sadeh tana. So now you could say it's mimin hata'ana, right? Todab miktzat. Okay. So now they say, wait a minute. No, it's still not, because ksut mashatano lohodalo, mashodalo lotano. If you claim you bought this shirt, which was a big shirt, and I claim you bought a small shirt, we're still talking about two different shirts. And if you claim that you bought the bundles of this small, this large field, and I claim you bought the bundles from that large field, we're still talking about two different things. So what are the answer? Kedamra papa bidelife. Okay, what does that mean? He's talking about where it was like a big sheet of material. And it was about how much material you bought from that material to make the clothing for the Eved. Okay, something like that. Okay, so therefore you could claim that. How it works exactly in the Sadeh case is not as clear cut.
Which is why they don't do it.
Right. Okay. So, Kashale le Rabbi Hoshaya. But the Rabbi Hoshaya has a question on this still. Midi ksut katane. Eved katani, right? It doesn't say that you bought clothing. It says you bought an eved. Okay, so that doesn't help us. So, Ela Amar Rabbi Yoshaya, what does he do? He makes like an in-between shita. What does he say? What's bothering him? What's bothering him is that the thing said, you bought a sadeh, you bought an eved. So what does he claim? Shetano eved biksuto v'sadeh ba'omareha. You bought an eved with his clothes and a field with its omarim. So now, again, they say, Akate ksut mashatano lo hodalo, mashodalo lo ta'ano. So wait a minute, but that still doesn't resolve the problem. You still have the problem that the clothing is still different clothing. Amura papa bidilaife. No, it's still, you could explain like Rapapa said, it's talking about some big sheet of material. Okay, and that would work. So then, kashale the Rav Sheshet. Now, how does it work? Why do you swear about the whole thing now, according to Rav Hoshaya? How does it work? It works like this. The ksut is metaltalim. There's no halacha on it. And, right, it's mimin hatana, because we're talking about some big sheet of material. And einish bin alavadim is not relevant, because you're nishba'in on the metaltalim. So it all works. Except what? How do you swear about the eved? The eved is the case. So what does he claim? What do we learn already? Zokikin, right? That, or Gilgul Shvua, we call it. In the Gemara now, they're going to call it Zokikin, which means the same thing. We have a Gilgul Shvua. Once you're chayav a Shvua on the clothing, we can make you chayav a Shvua on the Eved. And that's the big chiddush in our Mishnah, in case number four, when it says, Bari Bari Mocher Yishava. Why does he swear? Because he's swearing, since he's swearing on the Ksut, he also swears about the Eved. It's a Gilgul Shvua. So comes Rav Sheshet and he says, wait a minute. Zokekin atel hashmuinan? You want to say that this Mishnah is teaching us the halacha of Gilgul Shvua? Tanina, we already learned. Zokekim anechasim she'en lemachrayut et anechasim she'yesh lemachrayut lishava alehem. Right? If you have property that's without achrayut, meaning metaltalin, and you have property that's with achrayut, meaning karka, and you have to swear about the metaltalin, so we also make a swear about the karka. It's explicit. So why do we need another Mishnah to teach us this? Everybody knows that. Okay? So therefore, Rav Sheshet doesn't like Rav Hoshaya's understanding. So before we get to Rav Sheshet, I want to just review. We have three answers so far. Rav says he was claiming the financial amount of the Eved, or of the Sadeh. Shmuel says he was claiming the clothing, or the bundles. Rav Hoshaya says he's claiming the bundles with the field, the clothing with the Eved. Okay? Comes Rav Sheshet and he says, Elam Rav Sheshet, totally different answer. Ha mani Rabbi Meir hi. We can understand the Mishnah kipshuta. And who's the Mishnah like? Rabbi Meir. Da amar avda kimitaltalin dame. Okay? What does Rabbi Meir hold? That avadim are like metaltalin, in which case we could take a shvua on them. Okay, now, what's the problem though? We're still going to have two other questions. It resolves question number three, which was einish ba'in al avadim. But it doesn't resolve question number one and two. Va'akate mashatano lohodalo, mashodalo lo ta'ano. Right? So first question is going to be, it's still not modeh mimin hata'ana. Right? He's modeh about something else, a different eved, a different, right? Okay? So, remember, all other three resolve this issue by saying either we were talking about money or we were talking about a big sheet of material and he's only talking about part of the material. But if Rav Sheshet understand a kipshuta, then we're talking about two different avadim or two different fields. So what do we answer? Savralaka Rabban Gamliel. If you remember, we learned this already in the Mishnah, that it depends. There's a machloket about this modeh mimin hatana. I explained to you a few minutes ago as if there's only one opinion, but there's two. Ditnan, ta'ano chitim behodas se'orim. If he claims he bought chitim and the other guy admits it was se'orim, patur, or he owes him chitim, and he agrees, no, I owe you, but I owe you se'orim. So he's patur from shvua. Rabban Gamliel mechayev, but Rabban Gamliel says, no, that the fact that you have a claim on me and I say, well, it's not that, it's something else, that is modeh b'miksah, according to Rabban Gamliel. So you can claim that it's Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah. He holds it avadim like metaltalin, and he also holds like Rabban Gamliel that when it's not mimin hatana, you still have to take a shvua modeh b'miksah. Now, we're still left with question number two, which is akate helachu, right? It's still helach. It's as if he's saying, right, it's right here, take it, so and there shouldn't be a shvu in that case. So Amarava, Avda de Kataliyade, Visadesha Khavarba Barot Shekhinu Marot. It's a case where he's supposed to give him the Eved, but he doesn't, it's not a halach, oh here, take it, because in the interim, the Eved lost, he chopped off, okay, here it's a little strange, I don't know why he did this, but he chopped off the Eved's arm, or he did something to the field. Right, he dug wells, ditches, right, pits, ditches, or caves. In which case, it's no longer, right? What he bought is no longer what he's going to get, and therefore he's supposed to just give him the monetary value of it. In which case, it's not a halach case, okay? He just wants to make an ukimta so that this case is no longer a halach case, okay? So he says it must be a case like that, and then we don't have a halach problem. Okay, so now we've got rid of the two side questions, okay? What did we say? Our main claim is, okay, this is important, I'm going to erase on the board. Our main claim is right now that this mission is, according to Rabbi Meir, that avadim are like metaltalim, and you take a shavua, right? Le'inyan shavua, they're the same. Okay, now, we're going to have a few problems with this. Okay, problem number one. V'ha Rabbi Meir, right? And in other words, again, those other two questions were side questions, so we potter them by saying, right, he also like Rabban Gamliel about the Mimina Ta'ana, if it's not Mimina Ta'ana, you still take Shavua Moda Mitzah. And we potter the Halach problem because we say the item was ruined and, you know, he messed up the item and therefore he has to return the value. But now we have to talk about the basic thing about Rabbi Meir holding that Metaltalin, Avadim are like Metaltalin. Rabbi Meir, we know that Rabbi Meir actually holds the opposite. He holds that avadim were like karka. This is going to be question number one. Ditnan says in the Mishnah, we learned this above a comma, gazal behema behiskina, avadim behiskinu. Remember what happens? You steal a behema and he gets old and he's not worthy of working well anymore. Or an eved and he also got old and he's not going to be a good worker anymore. Mishalem kishatak zela. What do we say about both these things, if you remember? Generally, right, we say that avadim, normally when a regular gzela case of metaltalin, what do we say? If the item changed value, it doesn't matter. You pay back the item, right? Hareshal chalafanecha, you could say, look, this is the item, take it as is. But what does Tanakama say here? Mishalem kishata gzela. They don't change, right? You pay based on the value it was at the time of the gzela. Rabbi Meir omer ba'avadim, Omer lo haresha chalafanecha. When it comes to avadim, we say no. This is what's the first thing that mishalem kshat gzela means that I was kona the item at the time of the gzela. Remember, like metaltin, it becomes yours, and once it becomes yours, right, then you only have to return the item at the moment that you stole it, because at that point it becomes yours. But karka, and clearly Rabbi Meir holds also avadim. Always are considered bereshut habalim arishonim. Remember, karka eina nigzelet. You remember that concept? It can never be stolen, meaning it never changes ownership. So therefore, it's always considered in the reshut of the original owner. So if it got old, what do? The eved, you return it as is because you're just returning the guy's item. You never had any sort of kinyan over it, meaning that you accepted responsibility, right, to take on the loss. So, according to this, what does Rabbi Meir hold? Avadim, okay, let's put it more straightforward, are not like mitaltalin, right? Against what we just said, okay? Because he holds mishalem kishat, So, what do we answer? Halokashya, kidemachlif rabba baravua vitane, Rabbi Meir omer mishalem kishat akzelem chamim omrim, omer lo ba'avadim haresha chalafanecha. Okay, Rabba Bar Avua switches the shito. By the way, this is the same Rabba Bar Avua that switched the shito when it came to the socher. And there was a machloket Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, who said what? And Rabba Bar Avua switched the shito. Likewise, here he switches the shito. And he says, oh no, Rabbi Meir actually holds avadim like metaltalin. And that resolves our issue. Okay, until we get to our next question. Okay, so now we say, Elami mai desaba Rabbi Meir makshinan karka le'eved. Ma eved nishba'in, af karka nishba'in. Now, wait a minute. If you remember, the Mishnah gave two cases. What did the Mishnah give? A case of avadim, where you swear, and a case of sadot, where you swear. Now, sadot is karka, right? So now the Gemara is saying, how do you know that Sava Rabbi Meir, Mimayda Sava Rabbi Meir, makshina, we make a hekesh from karka le'eved, just like eved is nishba'in. Af karka is nishbayin. That's the way we're assuming we can read the Mishnah. The Rabbi Meir holds that, right? He says, bari bari mocher yishavat, seemingly in both the Eved case and the karka case. So now they're going to say, which would be very strange, because even if he holds avadim like metaltalin, right, he doesn't hold that avadim are like, that karka is like metaltalin. So what we want to suggest, dilma, a eved hu dinishbayin, avala karka lo. Maybe he only thinks that the Shavuah that he's talking about there would only be on the Eved case and not on the Karka case. So now they say, Lo, Salkadatach, but this doesn't make sense to say. Titania hamachlif para b'chamor v'yalda, v'chein hamocher shifchato v'yalda, ze omer b'shuti, v'ze shotek. Now we're going to have a braita that shows, okay, we'll see in a minute, see what it shows, hold off. The braita is very similar to our Mishnah. You're machlif para b'chamor v'yalda, or you're mocher shifcha v'yalda. Notice what's missing here. Karka doesn't appear here at all, okay? Ze omer b'shuti, v'ze shotek. Okay, this one says, right, it was mine, and the other one was silent, meaning any odea, zacha, period. Okay, so he gets to keep it. Zeomer any odea, vzeomer any odea yachloku. Okay, so far this isn't so relevant to our purposes. Okay, so shema v'shema yachloku. Zeomer brishuti, vzeomer brishuti, bari ubari, yishava mocher shebrishuto yalda. Okay, right, that's like our case. They're both bari. The mocher swears that brishuto yalda. Lefisha kol nishba'in shebetoha, nishba'im v'lo mishalmim divrei Rabbi Meir. What does Rabbi Meir say? In this case, now remember, we're talking about avadim, not about karka, but that's, we want to get to karka. He says, right, all, this is what I told you before, right, anytime you have to swear, who swears? The guy who doesn't need to pay, and that's why the mocher swears. Okay, here comes our key line. V'chachamim omrim, ein nishba'im lo ala avadim v'lo ala karkaot. Comes Chachamim. They're not talking about karka at all here, right? And he says, we don't swear on Avadim. He disagrees with Rabbi Meir. That makes sense according to everything we've established so far. But you also don't swear on karkaot. Now, why is he pitom mentioning karkaot here? It must be that Rabbi Meir holds that you do swear on karkaot. You follow? That's what the Gemara is going to assume. La michlal de Rabbi Meir savar nishba'in. Right? Why bichlal will Chachamim start mentioning karka here if Rabbi Meir didn't disagree with them about karka? So now they're going to suggest that maybe Rabbi Meir holds you also swear on karka. Right? So now, one second. Right. Okay? So now, which makes sense also in light of our Mishnah, that they were talking about karka. So now they say, Mimai, no, who's to say that? Dilma keshem ka'amrule. Maybe Chachamim should be read as a keshem, meaning what? Ki hecha de odilam bekarkaot, odin alami ba'avadim. Maybe he's not saying that. Maybe he's saying, just like you agree with me about karka, the enish ba'in, likewise, enish ba'in alavadim. That's how Chachamim were disagreeing with Rabbi Meir. You follow? That line doesn't mean enish ba'in alavadim below ala karka because you think you swear on both. No. Just like you agree with me, we never say we swear on karka, likewise, we don't swear on avadim. And that's how Chachamim were disagreeing. And here's further proof. Teda, ditnan, it says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir omer, yesh rein shein ke karka ve'inan ke karka. Ve'en Chachamim modin lo. Rabbi Meir says there's certain things that are judged like karka and you don't swear on them, and certain things that are not like karka and you do swear about them. Meaning, that what does Rabbi Meir hold? That you don't swear on karka. Okay? Which is going to make our Mishnah very difficult according to this interpretation, right? Because if you say that you don't swear on karka even according to Rabbi Meir, then Rav Sheshet doesn't make sense because Rav Sheshet said, right, they swear on avadim and on karka. So that's going to be a difficulty to Rav Sheshet. So here we see that Rabbi Meir clearly holds that you don't swear on karka because there's certain things that are like karka, certain things that aren't like karka. Ve'en chachamim modim lo, and chachamim don't agree with them about this, meaning chachamim think all these things are like karka and you don't swear about them. Ketzad, asarag fanim te'unot masarti lecha. I claim that I gave you 10 vines of fanim with lots of grapes in them. Bahala omer, enan ela chamesh. There were only 5 that you gave me. One second, the case here is, right, Rabbi Meir Mechayev, v'chachamim omrim, kol mechubar lekarka, reu kekarka. Right, so now, I'm sorry, just one second, the case is that you gave me fanim. It was Lishmor, that's what it was. I just didn't remember what the case was. It was a Shmira case, and what happened? I gave you 10 vineyards to watch, or 10 vines to watch, and what did you do? Right now, all the grapes are ruined. So you owe me that value, and he says it was only 5. So now, right, it's Modeh B'Mikzat. So now, Rabbi Meir's Mechayev HaChachamim Omrim, Kol Mechubar LaKarka, Reu KeKarka. Here you see that what? These are things that, according to Rabbi Meir, are not like karka, And according to Chachamim, they are like karkava. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, how did he explain this? The case is talking about avanim ha'omdot li batzer. There were anavim that when I gave you the vineyard to watch, the vines had already grown, the grapes were grown, fully grown, and they were ready to be cut. Okay, and the machloket between them is about this case, Ika ben Ayu. That's the machloket. Demar sevar kibitzuro damyan. It's as if they're already cut from the ground, they're already removed from the ground because they're ready already. Umar sevar lav kibitzuro damyan. We've learned this before, right? That they're not, until you actually cut them, they're attached to the ground and attached to the ground just like karka. Anyway, what does this prove? That when it comes to karka, even Rabbi Meir holds you don't swear, which makes our Mishnah difficult according to his reading, because our case was about Sadot and Avadim. Avadim, maybe we could say Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir says Avadim are like Metaltalim, but clearly we've now proven that Rabbi Meir doesn't hold you swear on karka, so therefore it doesn't make sense. So therefore we go back to Rabbi Yoshaya. Lolam kid Rabbi Yoshaya. Udikashel, remember what our question was on him. Udikashel ach zokikin. Right, we said it was Eved with his suit. So, what are you teaching us Zokikim for? So they say, ah, it's derich. You need it. Why? Salkadat hachamina ksut Eved ke Eved dami, omre sadeh kis sadeh dami, kamash malan. You might have thought that since we're talking about ksut that goes along with an Eved, that maybe it's batel to the Eved, and therefore we're going to judge it like an Eved case, in which case we wouldn't make you swear, right? Because we don't hold like Rabbi Meir about that we swear on Avadim. And therefore, kamashmalan, they needed to teach you, even in this case, zokikin. Okay, they're not teaching you bichlal zokikin. They're teaching you specifically in this case because you might have thought not. Okay, let's just quickly finish to the Mishnah. Zeomer eni yodea v'zeomer eni yodea yachloku. So again, hamane sumchusi, right? The final case. Now we're going back to the case in the Braita. We mentioned this Braita, and it said eni yodea v'zeomer eni yodea yachloku in the Braita, which was very similar to our Mishnah. So now we're going to say the same thing we said about our Mishnah, which is the Braita must be sumchusi. Damar, right? This was the Braita we mentioned in the context of Rabbi Meir, trying to understand according to Rosh Hashanah's opinion. It's sumchus tamar ramon butab safek cholkin, but now they say, wait a minute, ema seifa, and the seifa it says zeomer b'shuti v'zeomer b'shuti. This is the exact same sugya we saw earlier about our Mishnah. If he says right yachloku in the regular shema v'shema, we're saying it's, or even in bari bari. What about right zeomer b'shuti shavav zeomer b'shuti? I'm sorry, zeomer b'shuti zeomer b'shuti. Why yishavam mocher shabushutol yalda? Right. Well, the Rabba Barafuna de Amar in Amar Sumchus Afilu Bari Bari Amayi Shava Mocher Yachloku Mebaya. According to Rabba Barafuna, the Bright has the same problem our Mishnah had, which is if we assume that it's Sumchus because it says Yachloku in a Shemo Shema case, and we assume that Sumchus would say the same in a Bari Bari case. Why in the Bari Bari case in the Brighta did it say just like our Mishnah, right? That you swear, we should say yachloku. So again, we answer just like we said earlier. Mo desumchus hechad ika shvua d'oraita udekata liyada kidurava. Right? We have to say two things now, because we already learned about another problem, which is number one, when there's a shvua d'oraita, which in this case there is because it's a moda b'miktza case, you have to swear. And it must be a kata liyada case where he chopped off her hand, and therefore he can't return the shifcha herself. Otherwise, it would be a halach case, and in a halach case, you don't need to take a shvua. So therefore, we're assuming it has to be both those cases. Now, the Rishonim say, well, why couldn't you just say it's a gugel shvua case, like Rabbi Yoshaya? And they say, because in that case... Right, what's the reason? Chamima Yumodim. Right, one second. Because then Chachamim would even agree. And in this, notice in the Braita, Chachamim disagreed. And if Chachamim wouldn't disagree if it was a Zokikin case. So you can't say that the whole Braita is Mukam in a case of Eved Biksuto, like we said about Rabbi Yoshaya, because then even Chachamim would agree. And in the Braita, Chachamim disagreed. And that's why this has to end differently than the Mishnah, where we ended up having to be making it in some unique case where it was an Eved with his Ksut to say Gilul Shvua. Because our Mishnah, right, we don't have to explain it specifically according to a particular person. We can say everyone agrees. The Braita clearly differentiates Rabbi Meir, Chachamim, and Chachamim think you don't take a Shvua. If Chachamim think you don't take a Shvua, it's obviously not an Eved B'Ksuto case. So therefore, the answer, it must be where we have to say that it's a case of classic of an Eved, right, or a field, and then we'd have to explain why do you swear, and that's because, right, it's it's a mode of a mikzah case and kata liyada, and right, and you probably have to say Rabban Gamliel also, because he holds that even if I don't know why they don't bring that up specifically, that it's even if it's not mimin hata'ana, that you'd have to swear. Okay.